Welcome to today's reading of the Midland Reporter Telegram and the Odessa American, read by volunteers and staff. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
Hello, I'm Jesse. I'm reading from the Midland Reporter Telegram for Thursday, May 11th. Important bills wait their turn in Senate. The story was written by Stuart Doreen. A pair of important pieces of legislation for Midland remain waiting for consideration by Texas Senate committees. House Joint Resolution 27, also known as GROW, overwhelmingly passed the House on May 1st. The item, co-authored by State Representative Tom Craddock, was referred to the Senate Finance Committee on May 4th. House Bill 100, an education funding bill, passed the House on April 27. The bill features a Midland-specific amendment from Craddock and was referred to the Senate Education Committee on May 2. H.J.R. 27. Craddock again filed legislation to bring state money generated by oil and gas production back to the Permian Basin and other energy-producing hotbeds. House Joint Resolution 27 would create the Generate Recurring Oil Wealth for Texas Fund, or GROW. On May 1st, GROW passed the House for the third straight session by a 121-14 margin. Quote, "The energy-producing regions of Texas continually generate the funds needed to support all Texans," Craddock said when he filed the bill. Continuing the quote, "GROW returns a portion of these finances to the communities during the times they need it most. It allows those communities to continue to grow and build their infrastructure when in demand. This bill would be a huge step forward for all of Texas," end quote. Craddock added that the fund does not create or raise taxes, but it secures the existing state revenue paid by oil and gas severance taxes for specific reinvestment in the Texas oil patch. The money could be used for roads, education, broadband, law enforcement, and many other of the required needs in these energy communities. Quote, "Some of the supporters include Apache, CenterPoint Energy, Chevron, ConocoPhillips, Diamondback Energy, ExxonMobil, Halliburton, Motran, Occidental Petroleum, Pioneer, Panhandle Producers and Royalty Owners, PPROA, Texas Alliance of Energy Producers, Texas Association of Business, Texas Pipeline Association, Texas Independent Producers and Royalty Owners Association, or TIPRO, and Texas Oil and Gas Association, TXOGA, Craddock's office previously said. Brooks Landgraf, a Republican from Odessa, filed similar legislation, House Joint Resolution 111. The bill, also called Strong, waits its turn in the Senate Finance Committee. Quote, "These proposed constitutional amendments, H.J.R. 27 and H.J.R. 111, are critical steps toward ensuring the sustained growth of the oil and natural gas production regions in Texas," State Senator Kevin Marks, a Republican from Midland, told the Reporter Telegram in a statement. Quote, "By creating the GROW Texas Fund and the Texas Strong Defense Fund, we will invest in the infrastructure and resources that are necessary to support the continued growth of these vital regions. These initiatives will not only support the energy sector, but they'll also have a ripple effect benefiting the entire state by creating jobs, improving transportation, and promoting economic development. I'll be happy to support both of these initiatives in the Texas Senate to ensure that Texas remains at the forefront of the energy industry for generations to come," end quote. HB 100. Midland ISD will receive up to $50 million in state funding through 2030 if House Bill 100 becomes law. In Texas, Texas House passed House Bill 100. The key piece of education funding legislation included an amendment from Craddock that keeps Midland ISD in line to receive what is currently called Formula Transition Grant funding through the 2029-2030 school year. That grant funding was expected to expire after the 2023-24 school year. No district in the state receives as much Formula Transition Grant funding as Midland ISD. In fact, the Texas School Coalition reported that during the 2022-23 school year, Formula Transition Grant funding for Midland ISD was $53 million. The next closest districts were Houston ISD, $39.5 million, and Carrollton Farmers Branch ISD, $23 million. The legislative session ends on May 29th. County judge responds to horseshoe concerns. County Judge Terry Johnson spoke about the future of the complex, including events coming up. The story was written by Ben Schaffer. During Monday's meeting of the Midland County Commissioners Court, county leaders voted to terminate the county's contract with Horseshoe Hospitality Services. On Wednesday, County Judge Terry Johnson responded to concerns about the future of the Horseshoe Multipurpose Complex, including events coming up. The Horseshoe Pavilion is supposed to be the venue for University of Texas Permian Basin's graduation on Saturday and the Spring into Summer show starting May 19th. Quote, "I have received several calls of concern from Midland County residents worried about events that they have planned or have tickets to at the Horseshoe Pavilion, including a graduation ceremony this weekend," Johnson wrote. "I want to assure the public that we're aware of how important the Horseshoe Complex is to the community, and the events that are currently planned will continue to happen. We are working to make this transition that the termination of contract is causing as seamless as possible," end quote. Precinct 1 Commissioner Scott Ramsey and Precinct 2 Commissioner Jeff Summers expressed their concerns about the immediate future of the Horseshoe facility if the contract was terminated, mainly who would manage it and the possible cancellation of nearing Horseshoe events. An attorney representing Horseshoe Hospitality sent a letter Tuesday to Johnson and Midland County that could be a precursor to legal action. According to a letter sent from Hal Brockett Jr. of the law firm Brockett, McNeil, and Poxick, the county was not permitted to immediately terminate without cause. The following is commentary. City on quite an investment spree since Hogan saga. The story was written by Stuart Doreen. I have gone out of my way to stay away from the Hogan Park saga from earlier this year. Considering the now infamous Bloomberg article that spotlighted the decision, it got me thinking. Is it possible that the Hogan Park decision was a catalyst to better things? Considering the months that followed the decision by the council to turn down tens of millions in private money to upgrade the decrepit park in Northeast Midland, the question is a legitimate one. This theory came about because, frankly, the City and Midland Development Corporation, at the city's discretion, have come out with incentive after incentive since the Hogan Park decision in February. They include a property tax abatement for a developer to put in a Bass Pro Shops entertainment center in Northwest Midland, a sales tax rebate for a development to put in a Bass Pro Shop entertainment center in Northwest Midland, a Midland Development Corporation investment of $5 million in infrastructure for the Bass Pro Shops Entertainment Center in Northwest Midland. A $700,000 Midland Development Corporation investment for City of Midland Aquatics to reline its pool. The offering of land at the Scarborough Sports Complex for an expected $30 million indoor basketball, volleyball, athletic facility. Totally love this one. The expected negotiation with a hotel developer that is likely to include some combination of hotel occupancy tax rebates, city sales tax rebates, city property tax rebates, and or cash incentive payments, which could range from $15 million to $30 million in city and MDC money. The possibility of a Midland Development Corporation investment close to $1 million in an indoor athletic facility to be built at the Bush Tennis Center location. The likely negotiation with Synergy Entertainment for incentives having to do with its announced expansion in West Midland. We know there will be other asks that come before the council, including an economic development package having to do with the Tapestry Hotel development downtown. I think it is fair to ask, where will this run of economic development incentives stop? It is tough to say. Look at downtown. Tens of millions of public dollars already have been dedicated to projects such as the Wall Street Lofts, the Bush Convention Center, the implosion or demolition of deteriorated office space, the parking garage behind the old bank building on Main Street or Centennial Park. When asked, where does the spending downtown end? Midland Mayor Lori Blong said, quote, I think that the answer from where I sit is that we're going to take each project on the merit of that project specifically, end quote. Here are a couple takeaways that I have about the recent resources put into incentive packages. Midland is a growing city, and growing cities are often approached with bigger and bigger projects during an expansion phase. The Midland City Council is now walking that thin line of having to say yes more and more often. Sadly, other organizations will use COM as their excuse for wanting similar larger marketing expenditures and believe favoritism is in play when they don't get their ask. It might not be the case, but that is going to be what some believe. Second, similar expenditures will test the limited access of revenue the city has. It is not the council's fault that decades ago, Midlanders put unbelievable limitations on what the city could do when they gifted the county a half cent of sales taxes on items purchased inside the city. A generation ago, that happened. Still, city leaders have to make sure the limited funding available doesn't hamstring the city when needed development is required tomorrow or 10 years down the line. Third, it seems like some decisions about being made because, frankly, there's so much money in current coffers. Council members have talked about the $88 million plus expected to be left in the general fund's fund balance at the end of the fiscal year, and the $22 million in the Park Special Purpose or Oil Fund, the $13 million in the Sports Complex Fund, and $13 million in the Hotel Motel Fund. Again, this is my perception of the words I hear. Let's end on this note. I look forward to hearing about what's next with the Quality of Place Conservancy. Because, whether we care to admit it or not, the QOP inspired many in Midland to be better, which is maybe what's behind the council's recent spree or the dumb luck of requests that seem to have landed in the city's plate. And it was the Quality of Place Conservancy's denial that ignited a response from a younger breed to leave no doubt when coming up with a game plan approaching the city and filling the council chambers with supporters. There have been groups that learned from what happened when this council said no to the Quality of Place Conservancy. And possibly one of those groups was the council itself. Now they need to determine the priorities and when to say enough. Local artist gives back to Petroleum Museum. The story was written by Morgan Taylor Thomas. Not many people can say their artwork can be found in 5 countries and 30 U.S. states, but Tim Singley can. Not many people can say they spent 14 years in law enforcement as a forensic artist, trained under Karen Taylor, the composite artist for America's Most Wanted, but Tim Singley can. Beyond his impressive and unique artistic resume, the abilities possessed by the EOG Resources employee stand incomparable. After moving to Midland in 2018 as a transfer from the San Antonio EOG division, Singley recognized his God-given talents that could be put to use in his spare time, creating pieces that resemble the world around him. Quote, "I've always been creative," Singley said. "I see other artwork, and I think, okay, I wonder if I can do that, and then I'm all in it. When I get to the point where it looks as good or comparable to the stuff I'm seeing, I move to something else," end quote. With works done in wood carving, photography, paint, and more, the Mississippi Native's portfolio spans all genres. However, his most impressive pieces can be found right here in Midland at the Petroleum Museum. Using just an ink pen and paper, Singley captures the beauty hidden in the oil field in a black and white handmade snapshot. With each piece taking anywhere between 50 to 60 hours, mass production, unless printed, can't be achieved, making every creation a one-of-a-kind masterpiece. One drawing on display features an EOG record-breaking well that produced 11,500 barrels of oil per day. Quote, "It's so tedious, but it comes easy for me. I can't explain it," Singley said. Taking inspiration from photos he'd already taken in both San Antonio and Midland, and the region around Carlsbad, New Mexico, Singley combines many elements into each depiction. Yet, his true pride comes from being able to donate the artwork to the museum. Why? Throughout his time at EOG and in Midland, Singley said the people of the community keep him here, repaying kindness wherever he can. Quote, "The people and the culture we have is amazing. It's like a huge family," Singley said. "I just wanted to give something back in EOG's name," end quote. The museum is open from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. Monday through Saturday and 2 p.m. to 5 p.m. Sundays at 1500 Interstate 20. To see other pieces and to buy prints of Singley's artwork, visit his site at fineartamerica.com/profiles/Tim-Singley. City reacts to complaints of water pressure in West Midland. The story was written by Stuart Doreen. During a town hall meeting Monday about Bass Pro Shops, one West Midlander asked a question about the amount of water that will be used. The reason wasn't about a potential waste of the commodity, but because West Siders are apparently having issues with water pressure. On Tuesday, Utilities Director Carl Crago said the city of Midland is looking into a possible low-pressure issue impacting areas like Grassland Estates and Legacy. Quote, "The Utilities Department in these instances will place pressure monitors on fire hydrants in the areas in question for a week to check for pressure patterns or low pressure times, Crago told the Reporter-Telegram. The pressure monitors take pressure readings every minute at all four spots, end quote. The city then will take the data from the readings to determine if more action is needed, Crago said. Some outcomes would be to perform water main valve checks in the area to ensure that a valve that may have been closed during a main break or construction project was actually opened back up, or to look into a project to construct a new water line to tie the area into a larger water main, Crago added. Quote, utilities is currently evaluating bringing a new water line to the Legends subdivision to help with pressures there, Crago said. The subdivision is above the allowable pressure based off of TCEQ requirements, but is 5 to 10 PSI lower than the average in the city at certain times of the day, end quote.
Hi, this is Linda. I'm reading the Midland Reporter-Telegram for Thursday, May 11th, 2023. Happenings. Three things to do in Midland this weekend, May 12th and 13th, by Morgan Taylor Thomas. Listen to LaRue. Texas-born and Oklahoma-raised red dirt singer Stoney LaRue spent the last 20 years earning his spot in the country music scene, and now he's coming to the tall city to show the 432 what he's all about. From lessons learned through his personal life to his political views and morals, LaRue hits every topic through his music, while still providing a good time for all who dare to listen. LaRue takes over the tailgate stage with a general admission ticket price of $20, available at thetailgatemidland.com. Round and rectangle tables, as well as couch sectionals, are also available for purchase, starting at $375. To learn more about Stoney, visit stoneylarue.com. Friday, doors open at 6 p.m., 4401 North Big Spring. Sample WTX beer during brews at the ballpark. Join the Midland Rockhounds for their second annual Ballpark Brews Craft Beer Festival at Momentum Bank Ballpark. Through this celebration of West Texas craft beers, local crews along with breweries from all over the state will fill the field with Lone Star favorites and new releases. To satisfy your hunger, check out one of the 432 food trucks on site while Christy Lewis provides the tunes. Tickets run $40 in advance, $50 at the gate. Designated driver tickets are available for $15. Each patron will receive a custom sampling glass for their 15 beers. bit.ly/3mi8wzq. For more information, visit milb.com/midland/ballpark/events. Saturday, 6 to 9 p.m., 5514 Champions Drive. Bring the fam to Max Music Fest. Head down to Centennial Park for Max Music Fest, hosted by Max Barbecue. Benefiting Buckner Midland and JAB Cares, the festival will feature performances from Lowdown Drifters, Bree Bagwell, and headliners Josh Abbott Band and Midland. Other events include a cornhole tournament, food trucks, and cashless bars. The $50 ticket, 10 and under free, can be bought at bit.ly/3VSQB3Y. A separate $50 ticket is required for cornhole participants. Guests can bring lawn chairs, strollers, and small bags. Prohibited items include knives, guns, camelbacks, large umbrellas, outside food or drink, and coolers. Find more information at facebook.com/MaxTexasBBQ. Saturday, doors open at 3 p.m., 200 West Wall. What's Up with Midland? By Morgan Taylor Thomas. At the Blue Door, Sip and Create, Thursday. Live music with JoJo DeSalvo, Friday. Casey Greathouse and Dessert Board Class, Saturday. Live music with Dave Martinez, May 27th. At the Destination, Friday Night Live, Johnny Blaine and the Spur Band, Friday. Clay Hollis, Saturday. Open Mic Night, May 18th. At Eccentric Brewing Company, Telltale Sundressed, Saturday. At the Horseshoe, UTPB Spring Commencement, Saturday. Spring into Summer Show, May 19th and 20th. Project Graduation, May 27th. At the Maverick Players, Gargoyles and Scarecrow Sins, Thursday through Saturday. At Midland Community Theater, Rock of Ages, Friday and Saturday. At the Museum of the Southwest, Downtown Midland Farmers Market, every Saturday. At the Tailgate, Stony LaRue, Friday. Modern Pop-Up Vendor Market, Saturday. Easton Corbin, May 19th. Crawfish Cook-Off, May 20th. At Tall City Brewing Company, Midland Run Crew, every Thursday. WTX FC Kickoff Party, Friday. Viva Agua Fresca Release, Friday. WTX FC Home Kickoff Party, May 17th. Live Music with Kyle Reed, May 20th. Brew Jitsis, May 28th. Tall City Brewing Company hosts a weekly 5K for people of all skill levels every Thursday at 6:30 p.m. At the Wagner Knoll Performing Arts Center, West Texas Winds, Friday. Back to the Future in Concert with West Texas Symphony, May 20th.
Here is a death notice that appeared in the Midland Reporter-Telegram on Thursday, May 11th. Victoria Lynn Ramirez, age 30, of Midland, passed away on Saturday, May 6th. Public visitation will be Saturday, May 13th, from 11 a.m. to 9 p.m., with a rosary to be recited at 7 p.m. Saturday evening at Llewellyn Garcia Pipkin Funeral Home Chapel. Arrangements were made with Llewellyn Garcia Pipkin Funeral Home and Chapel. Family messages and condolences may be emailed to Pipkin at nts-online.net, or you can visit the website at LlewellynGarciaPipkinFH.com.
This is Odessa American for May 9, 2023. U.S. troops arrive at border as migration curbs set to end, by Associated Press. By Lolita C. Baldor and Tara Kopp. Washington. About 550 U.S. active duty troops have begun arriving along the U.S.-Mexico border in the first group of military support, ahead of an expected increase of migrants, U.S. defense officials said Tuesday. The movement of troops is part of efforts to beef up security along the southern border as the U.S. prepares for the end of immigration restrictions linked to the coronavirus pandemic. Those restrictions are set to expire Thursday, leading to concerns about whether that will result in an increase in migrants trying to enter the U.S. starting Friday. The forces will mainly be used to help monitor and watch the border or do data entry and support, and are not there in any way to be interacting with migrants, said Brig General Pat Ryder, Pentagon press secretary. The goal is to free up U.S. Customs and Border Protection personnel to do law enforcement activities. They needed assistance performing some of those backup shop-type requirements so that they can focus on the law enforcement aspect of this, Ryder said. At least some of the active duty troops will be used near El Paso, Texas, he said, while adding that CBP will decide where forces will go. More than 900 additional soldiers, Marines, and airmen will follow around the end of May. The initial plan calls for a temporary 90-day deployment of the active duty forces because they can be moved much more quickly to the border than National Guard or reserve troops. U.S. and international law give migrants the right to seek asylum. However, the U.S. has used Title 42 of a public health law to expel migrants with no chance at asylum 2.8 million times since March 2020 on the grounds of preventing the spread of COVID-19. The Biden administration has said that it is ready to deal with whatever happens after Title 42's use ends, although it has also repeatedly criticized Congress for not making changes to the country's immigration system. We believe that we have a robust process to deal with what is going to occur after Title 42 lifts. Again, we're using the tools that are available to us because Congress refuses to do their job as it relates to the border, White House Press Secretary Karine Jean-Pierre said Tuesday. Roughly 2,500 National Guard members are already spread across all sectors of the border, providing an array of support to CBP, including monitoring, detection, and air transportation. Separately, Texas National Guard troops are also working along the border under state authority. Ryder said the active duty troops will be doing an entirely separate mission. Even with COVID-19 asylum restrictions still in place, the administration has seen record numbers of people crossing the border. President Joe Biden has responded by cracking down on those who cross illegally and by creating new pathways meant to offer alternatives to a dangerous and often deadly journey. Some locations across the border are already seeing an influx of migrants, often spurred by false information from smugglers or widespread rumors about what the Title 42 changes will mean for their chances of being able to remain in the U.S. Agents in the Border Patrol's relatively quiet El Centro, California sector stopped about 260 migrants a day over a 4 or 5 day period through Sunday, up from about 90 a day the previous week, said Gregory Bovino, the sector chief. It's unclear what's driving the increase other than anticipation that pandemic restrictions are about to end, Bovino said in an interview. We see these surges whenever there's a major event or news story, he said. We don't have a crystal ball, so I can't say there's going to be a massive surge on Friday. Top nationalities crossing illegally in the El Centro sector are from Peru, Colombia, and Senegal, Bovino said. On Monday, agents found migrants from 22 countries. Also Tuesday, Mexican President Andre Manuel López Obrador and President Joe Biden spoke by telephone. since Mexico shares a roughly 2,000-mile, 3,200-kilometer border with the United States, it's key to the success of any plans by the United States to control immigration at the southern border. The Mexican president said the two spoke for over an hour. We reaffirm the commitment to continue working together on issues like migration with a humanistic perspective, drug and weapons trafficking, and above all, cooperation on the welfare of the poorest people on our continent, he said. Apache's Outlook on Price is Positive, May 10, 2023, by Bob Campbell. Notwithstanding volatility in prices for oil, natural gas, and global liquefied natural gas, the Apache Corporation remains optimistic for the long-term prospects of those commodities, said President CEO John Christman in his Houston-based company's recent first-quarter earnings call. For the last several years, we have been navigating a volatile price environment, and this has been amplified recently with the ups and downs of global oil prices, extreme moves in global LNG pricing, and the rapid decline in U.S. natural gas prices, Christman said. Despite this volatility, we are constructive on long-term prices for oil, natural gas, and LNG. Based on this fundamental belief, we plan to invest over the long term for sustainable low single-digit production growth at attractive returns, he reported. That said, we cannot ignore price volatility and will therefore seek to moderate our investment plans during periods of significant price weakness. Christman said Apache must also be responsive to changing governmental tax and regulatory regimes within its countries of operations. Fortunately, our diversified portfolio provides us optionality, and we maintain the flexibility to adjust our investment plans relatively quickly, he said. In 2023, we have demonstrated this by reducing natural gas-directed activity and even curtailing production in response to extreme Waha price dislocations. We also made the decision to reduce spending in the North Sea as the recently enacted energy profits levy has resulted in less competitive return opportunities than in the U.S. and Egypt. Executive Vice President Chief Financial Officer Steve Riney said Apache paid $174 million for the remeasurement of its deferred tax liability in the United Kingdom that was caused by an increase in the energy profits levy. This was partially offset by the release of the valuation allowance on U.S. deferred tax assets, Riney said. Excluding these and other smaller items, adjusted net income for the first quarter was $372 million or $119 per diluted common share. He said free cash flow, excluding changes in working capital, was $272 million in the quarter, 81% of which was returned to shareholders through dividends and share repurchases. As John noted, it was a strong quarter for production and cost were a good bit under plan. Riney said guide and assist expense was $65 million, significantly below both the prior quarter and the same quarter last year. Excluding the mark-to-market impact, underlying quarterly G&A, general and administrative costs remained stable at roughly $1 million. Lease operation expenses also came in a good bit below expectations, primarily due to the mark-to-market impact of stock-based compensation programs, as well as foreign currency impacts in Egypt. Switching to forward-looking guidance items in the U.S., oil production growth is expected to return in the second quarter and should ramp further in the third quarter in conjunction with completion cadence. Riney said Apache's domestic natural gas production outlook is more muted as we are responding to weak Waha pricing with lean gas drilling reductions. In addition, we could see further lean gas production curtailments, but to be clear, further curtailments are not contemplated in our U.S. production guidance, he said. Stamp Out Hunger Coming Up by Ruth Campbell, May 10th, 2023. On Saturday, May 13th, letter carriers will join forces with the West Texas Food Bank as part of the National Association of Letter Carriers Stamp Out Hunger Food Drive. To help stamp out hunger, this year, Simply leave a sturdy bag containing non-perishable foods such as canned soup, canned vegetables, pasta, rice, or cereal next to your mailbox prior to the time of regular mail delivery on May 13th. Food items should be in non-breakable containers such as boxes and cans. Local letter carriers will then collect donations from homes across the city and deliver them to West Texas Food Bank, a news release said. This is one of the most important food drives we have during the year. This food comes in a time when food donations are generally slower. The need has exploded over the last few months, and we need to continue to provide meals during the summer for families whose children are unable to access the school lunch and breakfast programs, said Libby Campbell, CEO of the West Texas Food Bank. We appreciate this partnership and the tremendous amount of time and effort put in by the letter carriers. Texas Tech Health Sciences Center sets reception. By Ruth Campbell, May 10, 2023, the Odessa Chamber of Commerce and Medical Center Health System is hosting the 2023 Texas Tech Health Sciences Center Medical Student Welcome Reception on Thursday, May the 11th from 5 to 6:30 p.m. The reception will take place at the Odessa Chamber of Commerce located at 700 North Grant, Suite 200. With a growing population, the Permian Basin needs more doctors, and it is the hope of the Odessa Chamber of Commerce that these talented young transplants will make Odessa their permanent home. This year, we will be welcoming 29 medical students to the community, a news release said. This reception is sponsored by various Odessa Chamber members, and each student will receive a gift that is full of items from donor businesses, organizations, and others. Arrest made in April homicide by Odessa American, May 11, 2023. A 31-year-old man has been arrested in connection with the April 27th death of an Odessa woman. According to an OPD news release, officers were asked to check on the welfare of Crystal Williams, 36, at her Faudry Ranch apartment and found her deceased from a gunshot wound. On Thursday, OPD announced Larry Ashton Johnson has been arrested on suspicion of murder and tampering with physical evidence. Johnson is being held in the Midland County Jail on surety bonds totaling $515,000. Texas Department of Correction records indicate Johnson is currently on parole in a Montgomery County aggravated robbery case. Fall event to feature Bush Sisters by Ruth Campbell, May 10, 2023. The Laura W. Bush Institute for Women's Health and the Literacy Coalition of the Permian Basin will co-sponsor an evening with Jenna and Barbara Bush, daughters of Laura and President George W. Bush. The evening is scheduled for November 2nd. They'll be promoting their newest book that's coming out this fall, and it's called Love Comes First. It's a children's book, and it's beautifully done, beautifully illustrated, said Connie Thompson, executive director of the Laura W. Bush Institute for Women's Health. They'll be sharing stories about the loves in their life, and certainly they're excited to start their book tour here in Texas, in Midland, because of all the great memories and friends and people, Tyne said. They will be traveling all over the state. Jenna Bush Hager and Barbara Pierce Bush have penned books together previously. They wrote Sisters First for adults and then as a children's book. It's darling, beautifully illustrated. This is actually their second children's book, although Jenna and Laura Bush did a book called My Great Big Backyard, which was a children's book about national parks because Laura Bush has a special interest in national parks, Tyne said. She added that they are excited when they have a new one and go on a book tour. It is expected to be published in November. Tyne said the Bush twins have an interest in literacy, just like their mother and grandmother. I think they all read a lot of books together growing up. Their mother wrote a book. Hers was called Spoken from the Heart. It kind of runs in the family, she added. John Trishitti, the third executive director of the Literacy Coalition of the Permian Basin, said there is a connection between women's health and literacy. Trishitti said, you see the effects in terms of higher rates of emergency room use or the ability to read prescriptions. The kind of health literacy is foundational with the skill of literacy to begin with, and so that's why we're excited about the collaboration beyond the Laura Bush tie for both our organizations. We know that literacy is the key to health in general, but particularly to women's health. Two-thirds of the low literate worldwide are women and children, so it disproportionately affects women, Trachetti said. Tyne said they are going to buy a lot of books, and those who attend the event will get books. Trachetti will buy a lot of books to distribute to schools and to others throughout the area. No matter what your age, a good children's book is a treat. A well-written children's book touches the heart of the reader, whether it's a mother, grandmother, grandpa, brother, older sibling. It's a blessing to the little people who get to hear the good lessons, Tyne said. These books are beautifully illustrated, very colorful and happy, and have a really great message, she added. Trachetti said the books will be distributing the books to school libraries, public libraries, and all the coalition's social service partners. They will also be distributed through the Power Bag initiative, so it will be another item that goes home with new moms. The coalition is just starting the Laura Bush Ladies for Literacy. Mrs. Bush was excited that her name was going on a new organization here in Midland, Tyne said. Trachetti said that they are excited about the collaboration. We're just excited about the collaboration. I think it's great for both organizations, giving our reach in Midland, Odessa, and the Permian Basin, he added. Tyne said the funds raised will be distributed in the community. Players from the West Texas FC Soccer Club will be visiting both the Market Street in Odessa as well as the Market Street in Midland from 4 p.m. to 6 p.m. on May 11th. Throughout that time, the players will be available for photos and autographs with guests. United Supermarkets and Market Street are the official supermarkets of West Texas FC. The Market Street locations are 4950 East 42nd Street in Odessa and 4706 North Midkiff Road in Midland. Mother and Son Dance by Odessa American, May 11, 2023. Odessa Parks and Recreation has scheduled a Mother and Son Dance from 5:30 p.m. to 8 p.m. May 13th at the Odessa Marriott Hotel and Convention Center at 305 East 5th Street. Visit tinyurl.com/59VE475E. Report of a gunman causes Walmart evacuation by Kim Smith, May 11, 2023. The Westside Walmart was evacuated Thursday morning when police received a report of a gunman on the premises. No one was injured, but shoppers described a chaotic scene. According to the Odessa Police Department, a man called 911 around 8:40 a.m. and told a dispatcher he was at the Walmart on Northwest Loop 338 and he had a gun. OPD officers, Ector County Sheriff's Office deputies, and Texas Rangers descended upon the store, which was evacuated. There was never an active shooter and no reports of any injuries, an OPD news release stated. The incident remains under investigation. Odessa resident Oscar Perez says he was shopping for a vacuum cleaner in the rear of the store at the time of the incident. I heard on the radio, "Everyone get out of the store," Perez said, referring to an employee's handheld radio. "Everyone got into a panic run, and I just followed them. People got more panicked as they got closer to the front of the store," he said. "Especially with the way things are today, you can't trust no one," Perez said. "A lot of people were crying. When they got outside, more than a dozen police cars were pulling into the parking lot," he said. From a distance, he saw a man in handcuffs, Perez said. Murray McFarlane and Julie Harris of Monahan's had been in the store about 10 minutes when the store was evacuated. "They just started hollering, 'Get out, get out,'" McFarlane said. "We were pushing our buggies, and they told us to leave the buggies and get out." Harris said there was no explanation as to what was happening. While she wasn't in a rush to get out of the store, Harris said others were panicking. "They were running, trying to find a way out," she said.
This is Reed, and this is the Midland Reporter-Telegram, Health and Wellness for Wednesday, May 10th, 2023. COVID-19. Public health emergency expires on May 11th. Midland Health will adjust some of the policies put in place during the pandemic. Long before COVID-19 cases were diagnosed in Midland in March 2020, the Trump administration implemented a public health emergency, PHE, related to the COVID-19 virus, effective January 31st, 2020. This PHE is finally set to expire on May 11th, Thursday. According to the Department of Health and Human Services, since the Omicron variant was at its height in January 2022, the nation has seen daily COVID-19 reported cases drop 92%, COVID-19-related deaths drop by over 80%, and new COVID-19 hospitalizations down by almost 80%. As the PHE expires in the coming days, Midland Health will adjust some of the policies put in place during the pandemic, whether adopted internally or demanded externally. First, we will stop the daily COVID-19 reporting on the top of our webpage. There will still be regular reporting to the state and federal governments as required. The screening process at our main entrance of the Scarborough Tower has recently stopped. These individuals will continue to help visitors check in via the new kiosks that have been in place for over a year. These kiosks were implemented for identification as a safety precaution and not as a result of the COVID-19 virus. We do ask that if you are ill, please don't visit patients in the hospital and put others at risk. Speaking of visitation, we are working to modify our visitation policies to allow additional visitors in the hospital during new extended visiting hours. Each department or floor will have their own policies. Critical care departments will be managed with more concern, while labor and delivery will be more welcoming so families can participate in the exciting birth of a new family member. Allowances will be provided during any end-of-life treatment in our facility. The policy is located at https://www.midlandhealth.org/main/visitor-guidelines. The masking policy, as prescribed by the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, will be adjusted. Masking will be required for rooms with COVID-19 patients and other traditional personal protective equipment, PPE, requirements prior to the pandemic will be reinstituted. The employee vaccine mandate is set to expire separately from the PHE. Originally, the employee vaccine mandate was set to expire in November 2024. Recent communication from the White House and the Department of Health and Human Services suggests this mandate will expire sooner, but no date has been provided just yet. When the vaccine mandate is withdrawn, we will eliminate our vaccine requirements as well. In the meantime, all personnel subject to the vaccine mandate can request a religious or medical exemption. Aside from the impact inside Midland Health, the most important change is the end of the Medicaid waiver that maintained coverage for all Medicaid recipients throughout the PHE. This will be a long process led by the state to remove individuals that no longer qualify for the Medicaid program. If you still meet the eligibility requirements, you will be able to retain coverage when you are contacted by the Medicaid program. What will not be affected? Access to COVID-19 vaccinations and certain treatments, such as Paxlovid and Lagevrio, will generally not be affected. FDA's emergency use authorizations, EUA, for COVID-19 products, including tests, vaccines, and treatments, will not be affected. Major Medicare and Medicaid telehealth flexibilities will not be affected. The process for states to begin eligibility redeterminations for Medicaid will not be affected. We trust that the outline changes will be welcomed, and we look forward to continuing to meet the needs of our community through this adjustment period. Midland Health is grateful for the community's support during the last 3 years. Individuals, foundations, private business, and other public entities like the City of Midland and Midland County provided so many resources to our organization that contributed to our success in navigating the pandemic. Our hospital employees, medical staff, and other healthcare organizations in the community worked tirelessly to care for our community during this pandemic. We are all forever in their debts. Thank you all. Overcoming Cancer. Hope House to host National Cancer Survivor Day event. It may not be common knowledge that June holds a day for all cancer survivors to celebrate their journeys, but local nonprofit Gifts of Hope, Inc. is working to raise awareness about this opportunity for local survivors, their friends, and their families to come together. Quote, it is so wonderful to have my family with me to celebrate my fight and victory over cancer, end quote. A participant from last year said about the event. Gifts of Hope Executive Director Clint Dixon said, quote, this event exists to provide space for survivors to come together, along with friends and family, to inspire others who are in the middle of their journey, and also hope that cancer can be beat. The people represented by our event have strength, beauty, and colorful personalities. So we want to showcase that while making the community aware of how many people are affected and overcome cancer. We want every survivor in the Permian Basin and their families to join us on our front lawn for an amazing celebration, end quote, Dixon stated. The event will be held at the Hope House at 2006 West Tennessee Avenue from 2 to 4 p.m. on June 4th. There will be a local cancer survivor sharing her journey, refreshments, live music, and ribbon tying for all the different types of cancer. For more information on National Cancer Survivor Day, www.giftsofhopetx.org.
Here is the Dear Abby column that appeared in the Midland Reporter-Telegram on Thursday, May 11th. Three's a crowd for single man and his parents. Dear Abby, I am a 30-something single gay man. My parents are older and have a strained marriage. They no longer have a relationship but stay together. I live with them because of money issues, and they sometimes need assistance. I do not have the ability to bring friends or dates over, and I feel as if my mental health is being affected because of this, among other things. I own the house we live in, but because my folks are helping me, I feel I can't tell them to leave. They irritate me to no end, and I feel awful about that. What can I do to encourage them to leave me alone? Signed, Frustrated in Pennsylvania. Dear Frustrated, you and your parents are all adults. In a sense, your relationship with them now is its own marriage of convenience. You are overdue for a frank conversation with your parents about boundaries and privacy. You should be able to entertain friends, and your folks should give you the space to do it. You should also care less what they think about the way you conduct your life. You are a big boy now, and as an adult, you can do what you like. Dear Abby, I'm having a conflict with my 27-year-old daughter over watching my grandson. She thinks I should watch him every day because I don't have a life and she wants to live hers. I love my grandson, but I'm 54 and have medical issues. I had a heart attack last year on top of having diabetes and back pain. I'm not employed, but I tire easily. I told her I want to see him when it's convenient for me, and if she asks ahead of time, I will watch him, but not all the time. I believe it's up to her and the father, who is unreliable about watching him. Now when I ask to pick him up at school, unless I'm keeping him for a while, she refuses. I'm the only grandmother in his life, but she wants to keep me from him unless it's on her terms. What is your opinion on this? Signed, Conflicted Gran in New York. Dear Gran, my opinion is your daughter is attempting to blackmail you, and you should stand your ground. She is frustrated that her child's father is unreliable, and she is looking for someone to share her responsibility. For the sake of your health, please don't let it be you. Dear Abby, I dated a separated married man for 6 months. He said he wanted a committed relationship with me, but after 2 months, he decided he still wanted to have sex with his wife occasionally. I assumed he'd be with her like maybe once a month or once every 3 months. He told me I would be his primary girl. Well, I found out that she, not I, was primary. I have cut it off with him and am now moving on, but he still wants to be friends. At first, I did too, but now, when I look back at the betrayal, I no longer want to be his friend. Am I wrong? Should I continue the friendship? Signed, Second Place in Maryland. Dear Second Place, no and no.
Thank you for joining us for the readings of the Midland Reporter Telegram and the Odessa American. This is the Recording Library of West Texas, enriching the lives of individuals with physical, visual, and learning disabilities since 1963. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand with your computer or favorite mobile device at recordinglibrary.org.